brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, brother moderators, brother Bonner, everybody that's here this evening and interested in our discussion, we certainly appreciate this opportunity to be your speaker. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad to have this opportunity to affirm the truth of the Lord's will this evening when it comes to the number of cups upon the Lord's table. I'm very much interested in this subject, and as I pointed out last evening, the reason is not only the fact that there are souls at stake, but I have friends and neighbors in this audience here in Francis, as well as from Ada and surrounding congregations, friends and neighbors of mine whose souls are at stake because they lack the truth on this subject. Tonight we'd like to notice some ideas, since I am in the affirmative has the obligation to prove this proposition. And I intend to do just exactly that by several different avenues of proof. And I ask you to go along with us as we notice one for the next, and be very certain when Brother Bonner gets up in the negative, that he disproves and that he denies what I say, and he does it with Scripture, because after all that's important. Unless he does it with Scripture, of course, it has no value whatsoever. Now, we've agreed to exchange questions, and tonight it is my obligation to answer the questions, and I want to do that right now. The first question he asked me is, if it is scripturally right to use a bread plate for the unleavened bread used in the Lord's Supper, please give the Scripture making it right, and tell whether the Scripture is a command, example, or necessary inference for the plea. Now, this is one of those avenues that I expected him to get off into, and I imagine before we get through with this discussion, we're going to debate plates, baptistries, upper rooms, and song books, and tables, and who knows what else. But the answer that I gave to that is this answer. The bread plate has no spiritual significance. Therefore, you need no command, example, or necessary inference to use it. It makes no difference whether you do or you don't. It is something you can take or leave, like these other things we talked about. But you mark my word now, the propositions we've got right over here on the board, it deals with the idea of one cup. And he'll talk about everything under the sun besides one cup. And that's what this question is all about. The second question is, in an autonomy where a container's name suggests something else, does the container always have to be present? My answer is no. In metonymy of container for contain, if the contents is a liquid, the container must be present. And then his last question was a multiple choice. He asked me to please mark the answer, which I believe was correct, relative to the Lord's Supper and the word cup. He says, always means one drinking cup only, always means fruit of the vine only, always means one drinking cup filled with fruit of the vine only. It is not consistently used, but sometimes refer to one of the above and sometimes to another. None of those really cover the answer that I have, and I've written in my own answer, and here's the answer. Cup is used literally, I get your charts out if you want to check this again. Cup is used literally in every verse, except in those verses where a literal interpretation destroys the sense of the passage or is repugnant to reason. It is used literally in every verse, except where it destroys the sense of the passage or is repugnant to reason. Now, those are my answers to the questions, and I hope that they are sufficient for Brother Bach. As customary, I would like to define our proposition for this evening, and I have it over here on the board. My proposition, which I am going to affirm, involves this. The Scriptures, by that meaning, we mean the Old and the New Testament, of the Bible, if you please, teach, that is, imparts or connotes knowledge, and when the local church assembles, that is, a congregation of Christians, for the Lord's Supper or the communion, only one cup, and that explains itself, drinking vessel, may be used for the distribution, that is, to convey the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine, of course, is grape juice. And I think that's a simple definition. I think everybody understands what the definition of this proposition actually is. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when a person is preaching the truth, because you don't have to sidestep issues. You don't have to go off in a general or generic or expedient and all that sort of stuff. When a person's preaching the truth, and Brother Bonner knows this, when he's dealing with the instrumental music man, or when he's dealing with a college man or an institutional man, he knows what a great thing it is just to stand up and say, I've got the truth, and you don't. Well, you know, I do that exact thing when it comes to the Lord's will on the cup, because I find out that my proposition is taught in one chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Let's see if it's not all right there, and if this will prove my proposition. The Bible says in verse 2, keep the ordinances that I've ever did. I have received the Lord, that which I also delivered, verse 23. Here are the Scriptures that teach. He says, keep the ordinances, keep them as he has received them. Number 2, he says, when you come together in the church, what is this? It is an assembly of the church, the Bible says. He also points out in verse 20 to eat the Lord's Supper. What is this assembly for? It's for the Lord's Supper. He took the cup. What they used, they took the cup. One cup, as we pointed out.
There, my proposition is proven. It's simple. It's easy to get to. You don't have to go down here and yonder. You don't have to hope so. There it is, just as plain as you can possibly make it. My proposition is proven by 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. But we simply do this more than one way. Don, I'm going to need charts 1, 2, and 3. Last night, those of you that were familiar with this, you know, we went into some detail about these charts to show you that the cup Jesus took was a literal cup. And that's where we're going to begin again tonight. I'm going to read these verses right quick now because we went through these last evening. Matthew 26, verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave them, saying, drink ye all of it. Mark 14, 23, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave them the old drink of it. I find that this is, according to these scholars, Robinson, Strong, there. This means a drinking cup, a drinking vessel. Each one of these scholars points out that this is a literal container. Of course, we mentioned last night that Brother Bonner always said, always through the vine. Number two, Don, we find that these verses continue. Every one of them point out the fact that Jesus took a literal container. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. But let a man examine himself, so let him into that bread and drink of that cup. Mr. Robinson, Mr. Strong, and Mr. Thayer says, a cup of wine, the drinking vessel, the thing out of which one drinks. Brother Bonner said he couldn't find it where it said it had a contents. Right there it is, a cup of wine, Robinson says. I find for them in Luke 22, verse 17, he took the cup. What was that? Well, Robinson, Strong, and Thayer says, it's a drinking vessel, a cup, a drinking vessel. Of course, Bonner says, it's still fruit of the vine. Number three. I find here's the other verses we mentioned, and each one of these, again, supports the same idea. In Luke 22, 20, likewise also the cup after supper, say, this cup is the New Testament by blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians 11, 25, after the same matter also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Now what do we have here? Again, Robinson, a drinking vessel, a cup. Strong, a drinking vessel. Thayer, a cup, a drinking vessel. Thayer, a cup containing wine. Thayer, a metonymy, the container for the contained. Robinson, metonymy, a cup for the, a cup for the contents of the cup. A cup of wine, of course. Brother Bonner is going to maintain his fruit of the vine. But the fact remains, and I'd like to sum it up with my next chart. This is a chart B, Don. Here's a summary of all of this, and this is about as far as I'm going to go with this unless it's necessary to do it again. I know that there were several of you people who weren't here last night, but conclusively, the scholars say, poterion, translated cup, means in most passages referring to the Lord's Supper, drinking vessel, a drinking vessel, a drinking vessel, a drinking vessel, a cup, a drinking vessel, a drinking cup, a drinking cup. Young, Robinson, Vine, Strong, Thayer, Berry, and Bullinger. No Bible student will argue with these scholars. No Bible student will argue with these scholars. And they have the next chart on, it'll be chart number four. This is the one we showed last night, and I want to remember this because I don't want Brother Bonner to forget it. Last night he said in every single case where a cup was used in relationship to the Lord's Supper, it was always fruit of vine. He emphasized that all over and over again. His only proof was, I affirm. That doesn't mean anything to us. He goes over and over and says it. It is something which is entirely false and foreign in the Lord's will. So here's what we issued him, this challenge. If he has, if he doesn't have a total disrespect for the scholarship of the world, and if he wasn't trying to mislead the audience, I want any Greek lexicon that he can produce, one lexicon that will render cup, and he took the cup, Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, 23, as the fruit of the vine. Now that's a lexicon alone. And I told you last night you're going to look bad if you didn't find it. Surely he's got it today. Surely after a whole day to get ready, he's got it. Like I said, I hope he does, but it's going to be bad if he doesn't. To continue a farce like this and get up here and go through it all again, it's going to go hard on him. That's going to be something that's difficult. Surely he's got that by now. Let's begin now with chart B1, Dom. The cup that Jesus used, this cup we've been talking about, it was not an empty cup. That's not what it was at all. The Bible explains in Mark 14, verse 23, he took the cup. When he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. What did he do? When he took this cup, they drank of it. In Mark 14, verse 25, verily I say unto you, I'll drink no more of the fruit of the vine. What were they drinking? Fruit of the vine. The cup contained fruit of the vine. This cup is a drinking vessel, or a cup containing fruit of the vine. That's what the Lord took. He took a cup containing fruit of the vine. And chart seed on. Now, fine, brother, that you and I can understand something about this. Here's our basic differences, and this is an idea that I want to keep before you. The basic difference is on a verse like this. He took the cup. Well, the Bonner says cup always means fruit of the vine. I want you to look at that. That's contrary to the scholarship of the world. He cannot get a scholar to agree with him on that. It is contrary to reason. Why do you call it a cup if it's not a cup? Why would you say Jesus took the cup if he didn't take one? And furthermore, it is in direct contradiction to the scripture. The Bible says he took a cup. Furthermore, the truth on this is a cup is a drinking vessel containing fruit of the vine. It agrees with all scholars. It's reasonable to call a cup because that's what it was. It agrees with the scriptures. He took the cup, gave thanks, gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Mark 14, verse 23, they all drank up from out of it. That's what the Lord did. And that's what we do as far as our practice is concerned. Now, I understand that that's something that's simple, it's easy, and it takes a preacher to mess that up. This is made so plain that simple individuals can learn what the Lord's will is for them. Going on. I find out that you and I have to establish Bible authority. And this Bible authority is something that's absolutely essential. This is what I begged Brother Barnard to do last night. The Bible says in John 4, beginning verse 23, for the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship him. He says, those that would worship him in spirit and in truth. How must I worship God? Spirit and truth, the Bible says. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So I have to worship God in spirit and in truth, or according to his will. In order to teach something as being a binding, something which has a command, or an example, or an inference, which I think you're all familiar with, you know, we have to point out that it's taught by one of these means. That is, it has to be given in a precept. Now, that's a command or a statement. It has to be an approved example, or it has to be a necessary inference. Now, like I said last night, it doesn't have to be all three of these. Any one of them will bind whatever it is we're talking about. Command, example, or a necessary inference. So let's see what we find about the use of one cup. Chart D. I found when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he gave us a command to do it just like he did. Christ commanded disciples to drink of one cup. He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, Matthew 26, verse 27. The disciples understood the command, and they all drank of it, Mark 14, verse 23. Paul commands us to keep the communion as he delivered it. Now I praise you, brethren, to remember in all things, and keep the ordinances that I deliver unto you. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, verse 2. For I receive the Lord that which I also deliver unto you. Act the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Paul commands an assembly to drink of that cup. He delivered instructions of applying when you come together to eat. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 33. He commands, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28. Note, an assembly of the church which has come together to eat, verse 33, should drink of that cup. Verse 28. What's the command? Jesus said he commanded us to drink of the cup. That's what we do. My proposition is proven by command. We have a command. What is that cup? It is a literal container containing grape juice. Let me have the next one, Don. Charlie. I find also that you and I can prove anything by example. Now, an example is a thing or a person suitable to use as a model. An instance of something to be avoided, an act especially of punishment serving or designed to serve as a warning, a sample, a specimen, an instance serving to illustrate a rule, a problem to be solved that was with something may be compared, a precedent parallel from Funkenwagen's dictionary. Jesus took one cup, Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, verse 23, and Luke 22, 20. Jesus handed one cup to the disciples, Matthew 26, 27, Mark 14, 23. The disciples all drank one cup, Mark 14, verse 23. The Apostle Paul delivered this example as a pattern for us, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 and 2, verse 23, 24, 25, and 28. Now notice, this example is not a mere happenstance or an incident, but a model illustrating a rule. Go on. Here's an example, and this is the one we showed last night. Now Brother Bonner said, when I asked him the question, did Jesus institute the Lord's Supper with one cup? He said, I don't know. I don't know how he did it. He didn't know how he did it. But when I asked him, was it all right to worship with one cup? He said yes.
No, she didn't preach it.
He didn't question her practice. He just questioned preaching against those who didn't like it that way.
Well, look at here.
What did Jesus do? He took the cup, took to take with a hand. There, page 870. Cup, bring a vessel, a cup, page 533. He gave the cup, gave, reach out, extend, present. There, page 145. He commanded them to drink of or from what he took and gave. They understood and obeyed, Mark 14:23. They all drank of, out of, or from it.
Now what Jesus did?
Took the cup.
Reached out and handed it to them. Told them to drink out of it.
Go on. I find that this idea of example, since Jesus is our example, this is not happenstance, or this is not just an incident. Jesus is very perfectly a model for this example that you and I want to follow. Now, we know about examples. You know, there's an example for when we're to assemble upon the first day of the week. In Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Y'all know that that's the only verse of Scripture that teaches us to assemble upon the first day of the week. That's our example. That's enough, though, isn't it? That's all we need. This is a binding example. It teaches us when to assemble. Now, this is what we would consider to be an exclusive example. Now, by that I mean, unless you can show me some other place where we're commanded to meet upon some other day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper, this one right here has to stand. Unless you can show me another one, that one there is exclusive. Now, do we take this one, and we forget about this other one? And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. I declare that is an exclusive example. And Brother Bonner, unless you can show me some other example.
Now don't forget this. You know last night you promised that if I would try my best to follow you, you'd do everything you could and you'd cover everything I said. Now I want you to remember that. I did my best to follow you, but I want you to cover everything I say. You see, he says right here, this is an example. I declare that's exclusive. Unless you can show some place where they used a plurality of cups, some other place in the Bible. That example will hold, and it proves my proposition by example. Let's get to the next one. We also can use what is referred to as inference, necessary inference. Now, necessary inference is not just an inference. It is necessarily inferred. It has to be there to convey the idea. When you and I look at the idea of a necessary inference, I think we can figure out what he's talking about. Look here. What did Jesus do? That's not it. It's chart F. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. For as often as you drink this cup, here's the figure of speech, metonymy. We talked about it a little while last night. And metonymy, if you recall, is a container for the contents. That's in this case right here. The contents are suggested by naming the container. Now notice, here's an example. The kettle is boiling. When an object is used in metonymy, the object named is not the thing suggested. In other words, the kettle is not the water. But it suggests the water. Look at on. Example. Cup, not the contents. Kettle, it's not the water. In metonymy, the container for the container, when a liquid contents is suggested, the container named must be present. So by necessary inference, to drink this cup, the cup must be there. For the kettle to boil, there must be a kettle. By necessary inference, the Lord took the cup. One container containing grape juice. My proposition is proven by necessary inference. I find that this again is a simple thing. It's something which we could easily understand if we make up our mind that we want to. These things are not difficult unless someone tries to cloud the issue with it and cause us to miss the point. Let's go again. Let's summarize this idea with chart G. Here I find another interesting thing, and this sort of draws it all down to a point. How do we establish scriptural authority for one cup? Well, we have an express command. He took the cup. He gave thanks and gave to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Matthew 26, verse 27. What was that cup? It was a container containing grape juice. We have an approved example. And he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave them the old drink of it. Mark 14, verse 23. Not only is that an approved example, that is a conclusive example. And I find that this is something that you and I have to abide by unless another conclusion can be drawn from another example. I find further that we also have necessary inference.
necessary inference. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27. What is that? By necessity,
the cup has to be there.
By command, by example, by necessary inference, Jesus used one cup when he instituted the Lord's table. So, we use one cup up on the Lord's table because that's the truth.
And if you want to worship God correctly, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, you know, last night I asked him to give me the command, example, and necessary inference for his practice, which he never did do.
There's another aspect of this that I'd like to notice just a little bit. Don, let me have chart number H11 now. There's another avenue here that I'd like to point out by using three parallels. Contrary to what Brother Bonner believes, there are three items represented on the Lord's table. These three items, and I plan to get on this in greater detail in the second speech, but I want to present it now because I wanted to be sure and deal with it. These three items are based upon these three parallels right here. And these parallels allow us to see or have some insight, which otherwise we might not have. Notice the Bible says, this bread is my body, which is given for you. Luke 22, verse 19. This, referring to the fruit of the vine, is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Mark 14, verse 24. And this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke 22, verse 20. Now those verses are those statements. They are perfect parallels. And I've learned something about those verses. They're connected together by the little word is, which I find out is a part of speech called a copula. In other words, it is a connecting word. Is a connecting word, which means, in this case, represents. That's what it means. Let me have that next chart. I find that is the word which allows us to understand or get the idea he wants us to. Now look at this. Here are the three sentences of a diagram. And I'd like to say before I get into this, I want to show you this down here. The grammatical construction is the same in all three of these sentences. They're exactly the same. He says, subject, this bread. Predicate, copula, is, which means represents, body, which is a predicate nominative. I understand this is a noun or a pronoun which names or identifies the subject. So what is the bread? It's his body. He says this fruit of the vine is blood. What is the blood? It is represented by the fruit of the vine. He says this cup is New Testament. What is the cup? It represents the New Testament. Now these sentences are all exactly the same grammatically. They all have the same construction. And here's our conclusion. In every case, if bread is literal, if fruit of the vine is literal, the cup is also literal. If the bread, when it's sanctified, has a spiritual significance, there's a relationship. The bread is spiritually significant because it now represents the body of Christ. But there are still two different things. We understand. The same thing is true of the fruit of the vine. If it's blessed and given spiritual significance, it's still literal, and it represents the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, when the cup, which is also literal, it is blessed and given spiritual significance, it now represents the New Testament.
And that's exactly what the Lord intended for it to represent.
We have these three items that are parallel in every way and allow us to understand that there's a relationship between all of these words, but the end result is the same. He says, the bread is my body, the fruit of the vine is the blood, and the cup is the New Testament. Now, if that's not right, I wonder what's wrong with it. If that's not what that says, I want to know what it says. If Jesus didn't take one cup when he instituted the Lord's Supper, give it to them, tell them to drink of it, I want to know what he told them and what they did.
Now, folks, I want you to pay attention and see whether or not he deals with these items. Before I quit for this evening, I'd like to do something because I have brethren tell me from time to time that they don't really know what we do. And I can understand that. You know, I'm sure that there are brethren raised in churches that believe like Brother Bonner that really do not know what we do. So I'd like to give you a little demonstration. And I want to show you how this works. Don, I'm going to start with chart one once again.
I have here a cup. And this is not the cup of the Lord. This is a container. I put this grape juice in it. Now then, when this cup is sanctified by prayer, it becomes the cup of the Lord. That's what it is. This becomes the cup of the Lord when it's sanctified by prayer. a container with grape juice in it. Now then, let's read the verses. And he took the cup. What did he do? He took a container containing grape juice. He gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. What did he do? He gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Let me read again. And he took the cup. What did he take? A container, just like this one right here, containing grape juice. And he gave it to them. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. They all drank of it. How do you drink the cup? By drinking the contents. Let me have the next one. Hurry, Don. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, so let him eat that bread and drink that cup. How do you drink this cup? You drink the cup by drinking the contents. Again, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. What do you do with the cup? You take it and divide it among yourselves. That is, each one drinks of it. What do y'all do? You divide it up first and then pass it around. But you can take the cup and you can pass it around and divide it by drinking. That's the way that they did it. Let me have the other one. He also says in Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. What do you take? The cup. What was it? A container containing grape juice. He says also in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25, after the same manner also the cup. What was it? It's like it right there. He took a cup containing grape juice, which he had, when he had supped, saying, this cup. What is this? This cup is the New Testament in my blood. I'll have more to say about that. Here's a perfect reposition, a representation, the new covenant ratified with the blood of Christ. You see, it'll work. It'll work every time in every passage. Now, Brother Barn, I fixed this all up for you. And I want you to follow me, you see. I won't leave that there if you don't want it there. Got you a what we say this was? Come grape, a bottle of grape juice. Get you a bottle of grape juice. Got what you use in your practice. What are these? Little fruits of the vine? Know these little cups. I want you to do this, follow me, and read the verses. That shouldn't be hard if your practice is scriptural. You ought to be able to just sail right through that.